Give me a signal. Give me a signal. Yes! Oh, yes, yes. Pick up, pick up, pick up. Oh, thank God. There's an emergency happening at the...
I do so love Carcosa. It cannot be matched. It is a glittering jewel where all things pale next to it. Even this perfect ball cannot match the alleys of Carcosa in splendor. Its splendor, unlike others, can never be erased by anything it does.
Oh, no, 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 no. What did I dial? What number is this?
That is a lie. It does not end here. Fail is a fool. The king takes no sacrifice of eternal soul. My king protects me. He always has. Right you are, brother. Carcosa is never threatened.
Who is this? Where are you? Where am I?
When we last left Arcel, they were in a strange city. They did not realize, or did not know, that the city is named Alar, and they are currently in the land of Carcosa. Again, none of the members know this, but I'm sure none of you will tell them. They paid the toll, and it was a hefty toll to get across the way, and they encountered some strange folks that offered some strange bits of advice. Are they going deeper into this play? Is it scripted? Are they fated? We're not sure. But they're currently looking at two folks dressed ready for a play, yet one is smoking a cigarette outside a theater.
You know those things will kill you, right?
Yeah, lots of things will kill you. The sun will kill you. The suns will kill you. I still can't get used to that shit. Drinking water will kill you. Being on Earth will kill you. Or wherever the fuck we are.
Well, life does have a 100% mortality rate.
Not true, and I learned that out. Learned that the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
Wait, are we talking higher or lower?
Lower. But you know, songs of sorrow and pain, masked and disguised, all hope has fled the lady in red. Her fate is crystallized in Lost Carcosa. Yep.
Practicing your lines?
Yeah.
She wept a sad tear in her bucket of beer.
But she did not like beer because it was not in style. Well, she drank her wine for quite a while. The Hyades sing in broken throes. The stars rise to claim their prize. And yet the queen's song still echoes here in Lost Carcosa.
Well, you seem to have found it. Been here long?
No.
How long, about?
Oh, shit. Not long enough. I gotta get my pacing and my blocking down. I keep messing up. There's supposed to be a chair there, but nobody puts down the goddamn chair, and I'm supposed to use it as a prop. But how am I supposed to use it as a prop if there's no chair?
That does sound like a conundrum.
Yeah. Hey. You are wearing red.
Is that a problem?
Not at all. Exe, do you think we can get another one? The one in the mask just... Heh. It's a defeated, huh? Almost devoid of any energy in life. What's your name?
You can call me River.
Nice name. I thought you had curly hair.
Spoilers.
A serious question. Do you want to go back to Earth?
What do you mean back to?
Yesterday we were in San Francisco.
That's a horrible city. Never spent a colder summer. Or whatever the hell.
Mark Twain didn't actually say that. It wasn't him, actually. It's misquoted.
And also, whoever did say that never went north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Who the hell is Richard Brodigan anyway? Nothing, don't worry. It's all good. There was silence times two when he put an alligator in the frog pond.
Anyway, we're pretty sure we know how to get back.
Good for you.
If you'd like to go back and not be in this place anymore.
This could be my break. I mean, I'm a lady in red. I'm a lady in waiting for the queen. I mean, this is going to have, we're supposed to have one of the best audiences come through, some of the best critics ever, and give me a chance. I want to go to West End. I want to actually make it before off Broadway, maybe two offs. It's my goal to be at Winter Garden Theater dressed up like a cat, and maybe people think I might have a butthole.
You know that the people who play here never get near any number of offs Broadway. They just disappear. Nobody ever hears of them again.
Yeah.
Their names stay here in Las Carcosa.
The queen grows weary of wordy games, and her daughter dances delusioned. Her son brings her songs, but her heart belongs to the mists and its illusions. Hey, Red, if you want to come in, come on in. Red River, I heard there's a showdown up like that in Texas or something. Come on in. We can get you a spot. You made that choice, right?
I have made many choices.
Good. Exie, open the door. Let's get back in.
Quick question for you.
Mm-hmm. Make it quick.
Yeah, of course. Do you know Simone?
Yes.
Don't much care for her?
If some of us are working this stage and others get to work on a different stage, I would like to be on her stage.
What role is she playing?
She is one of Casilda's people. She's one of Casilda's girls.
Oh, but you said that you were one of the queen's ladies-in-waiting.
Right.
Oh, so Camilla's the queen right now.
No.
But Casilda's...
No. But Camilla's the queen? The fuck did you read that from?
Well, there's lots of different versions, and it changes some...
She moves up on you and grabs hold of the front of your shirt. And she still has a cigarette in her right hand. Do not talk about that part of the play.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Casilda is the queen.
Of course.
Queen Casilda, and when you say it, you curtsy or you bow. Princess Camilla.
Of course. Absolutely. Can you tell me why?
That's just how it is.
Okay.
It's how it's gonna be.
And is the queen alone on the throne?
There is the sound of wind coming down this alleyway. Everyone's eyes look up to where you were standing before, and you see a hooded figure, a yellow hooded figure, with horns, antlers.
Can you let go of me so I can run, please?
Nope, I gotta go back to work. Put out your hand.
Okay.
She puts her cigarette out in the palm of your hand.
Ah! I said okay!
Shh, be quiet. The phantom will come. She lets you go, grabs her mask, and Exie opens up the door. Red, are you coming?
Can my friends come?
It's a closed set.
Maybe later.
All right. The whole, the knock thing? Something, something, shave and pancake or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Shave and a haircut?
Might be a waffle or a pancake.
Or something.
Pancake. I think that's my next insult.
Do you know where we might find Simone?
She looks back up the way. Can't tell you right now. And closes the door.
Look back up to see if that hooded figure is still there.
It is, and then it floats past as it carries down the street.
Ow!
Yeah, remember how I said we can't be perfectly safe? I think Red might have not have been the best choice.
Ow!
One thing that's different about this street, you see there are doors. unlike the main thoroughfare that you came through upon. Looks as though that there are shops. Shops of all sorts. And then within a matter of a few moments, you start to see life coming out of the doors. People dressed in clothing from all manner of life, all times. And here the clothing is a little bit less expensive, not upper class, not completely. And I wouldn't say that there's a ton of people out, but there's at least 5-7 folks wandering about, milling about. You see a woman head into a shop, and when the door opens up, the smell of sausage and suet is very strong.
Shall we go take a look at the shops?
I think maybe just wander around, attempt to blend in. I know that we stick out like a sore thumb, but...
The thing is you don't. And that's the weird feeling, is that you don't stick out like a sore thumb. You do notice that others are wearing masks, like full-on masks. Others have on cowls. Some have on veils. Some have very big sunglasses on. The one that sticks out is the one with painted red mask, but even then, you see a woman with very thick white caked grease paint on and a black diamond over one of her eyes. But the makeup cuts off at her nose.
Are there any other colors in the masks?
It runs the near rainbow. What you notice, though, is there is a lack of one color. There's a lack of yellow.
All right. Let's scope a little bit more, see what these shops are. These are the first doors we've seen. That's got to be something.
The first shop, the person walks out, and you see that they're holding a brown paper bag that's been tied with a fancy ribbon. And it's a pretty good-sized paper bag. They're carrying it, and the person has a bit of a hop in their step. They look at you, nod in regards, and kind of head off. They turn around, make sure you get in there quick. He's going to sell out fast.
What's going to sell out fast?
Pies.
Wonderful, thank you.
Does this shop have a name?
Does anybody speak Greek?
Yes.
In the Greek alphabet, it says Chiron's Pies.
I'm telling them this.
Chiron, like the centaur? No, that was that in a play?
Probably. But if it is, that's the first play that we've seen a reference to. You know, that isn't the play. That's not Shakespeare.
Well, yeah, it is. Chiron was one of Tamra's sons in Titus Andronicus.
Oh, the one where people got baked into okay, cool.
The one where Chiron was one of the ones, yeah. Well, I mean, he did, like, rape and torture and horribly abuse a woman, so he kind of deserved it, but yeah.
Wait, Shakespeare did people bake? Seriously?
Oh no, look up Titus Andronicus sometime, it's wild.
That's one word for it.
So they did a Sweeney Todd.
Well, it was a one-time thing. I mean, Sweeney Todd never fed the people in the pies to their parents.
Not on purpose, anyway.
We don't know that.
On purpose is revenge. He got his revenge
otherwise.
Well,
yeah, because he wanted to bake the dad into a pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not an exact parallel, but anyway.
We're not going in there.
So we're not going to eat the pies. I wasn't going to eat the pies anyway because...
No, I would think we're still on the don't eat food here train, right? Yeah, just in general.
I mean, unless you wanted long pick.
Nope. No, I mean like in this realm of existence, food consumption may lead to getting stuck here.
Fairy rules, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, avoid pomegranates.
Just don't eat, unless you brought snacks with you. Did you bring snacks with you?
I'm going to look in
Reagan
in
probably
my,
has a granola bar.
Yeah, look in my book bag, my messenger bag, and see if I've got anything in amongst the scraps of paper and notebooks and stuff.
You find half of a Mr. Good bar. The door opens up, and a older woman walks out. and she's wearing a fascinator with a bit of a cage over the front. And you hear from inside, Mrs. Levitt, enjoy your pies. Oh, dearie, I will.
There it is.
Hello.
So that's the first reference to a non-Shakespeare.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Nothing.
Nothing. Not a thing. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It's a great day for a trip by the sea.
Well, I must be off. Trigunum equites, tricorum, satis di, substitutionary locomotion for me. And she kind of does this little bit of a hiccup step, like a skip jump, and starts to walk with purpose, almost as though that she's stage walking away.
Exit stage right, carrying pie.
Reagan looks at Ari. Was that... That's on you, bud. What just happened there?
I have no idea.
Oh. Okay. Well.
Oh. You realize what we have here, don't you? River's gonna hold his hands up in front of him and make a gesture and say, actors.
Worse. Thespians.
Why? Should I understand what this hand thing means?
It's kind of a standing joke that once we realize what the problem is, we sum it up, you know, aliens.
But this one, it feels a little bit more, you need a little more pizzazz in there, and Reagan starts doing spirit fingers.
When you start doing spirit fingers, the ten or so people
oh, no.
In the street all start to form into a bit of a line.
Oh, no. Stop that singing. Stop. No singing.
Reagan, you're making a bit of a singular sensation of yourself.
If only I had a little hat.
We will not have any song cues here.
One of them pounds a cane on the ground and you hear, and then the crowd breaks out into a song. And then people stop and begin to go about their business.
Is it bad that that's catchy?
Yes.
I think Ketchy might be unavoidable under these circumstances.
It's always these kinds of songs that have that, like, earworm quality to them.
So, Haster, or Hassiter, like they were saying, is another one of those figures that...
There is a slam on your shin by the man walking with a cane.
Ow!
Be careful with the spirit fingers, lass. And be careful with that word on your tongue. We may have to take it.
No, thank you!
Remember the whole act like we're in fairy rules? Names have power!
So that word I'm not gonna say is either a person or a place that shows up in a lot of the texts.
Okay. Alright, well then, let's try to avoid turning this into more of a musical ensemble. I'm not very good at singing.
Oh, that's the worst person to get caught up into a you know, you must sing along spell.
If Buffy the Vampire Slayer has taught me anything.
Can you imagine how horrible it would be if we found ourselves in a musical episode?
Be pretty terrible. Alright, let's check out the other shops. Try to avoid starting any conga lines or anything fun like that.
The next shop, the sign written in English, just says clothing, costumes, and outerwear. The shop alongside of it says the closet.
Does anybody come out of the closet while we're standing there?
No.
It might not be a bad idea to look into getting masks here, but also, do we have the kind of currency that they use?
Given the toll we already had to pay, I am gonna assume not.
Seems likely. So we stick with what we have.
We're sticking out less than I thought, so I think we're probably okay.
All right. I feel like we don't have a plan right now. I mean, the best lead for the people we're looking for is probably the theater, I guess.
Well... She said that Simone is one of the Queen's ladies. I may have misunderstood, but that sounded like to me like she was actually working for the Queen.
Well, also, Simone, that was the role she had in the play.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that all of the actors are with other people in that same role?
Maybe.
If we found Camilla, would we... find Anita, perhaps.
Maybe.
But what about Johan?
We've got to start somewhere, so if they all came in together, there's a possibility that if we find one, they might be able to tell us where the rest are.
That's possible. So, perhaps we look for the palace. That seems to be a place where a masquerade would be held and royalty would live. Or maybe I'm completely off base.
Well, if we're going to the masquerade, we probably need flowers.
You're heading up toward the palace?
If we can figure out where approximately that would be, that seems like, yeah, definitely not taking a direct route, because in my head at least, masquerades and such like take place in the evening. And that's, you know, when things are most likely to be seen.
Are you going to try to get masks? Or are you happy with your glasses as masks?
And lipstick.
And lipstick.
I think we might want to have options.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's a good idea.
I think that by putting on a red mask, I may have, like, made a statement that I didn't intend to, or chosen sides or something.
Yeah.
Why don't we go into a shop and see if we can acquire them and what the potential cost might be, because that might make the decision for us.
Let's just head into this costume shop.
Sounds... not good, but sounds like a plan.
You open the door to the costume shop, and inside, it looks like costuming. Costuming meaning the area where costumers and folks that are backstage helping other people put on clothes. You see there are racks and racks of clothing. There are metal shelving, modern metal shelving. The walls of this room are a sickly green, but yet there is this blue light that makes sure that almost all colors are popping. Looking up, you see that there are a few other lights with various colored lenses as well that can be easily turned on and off. And you see there are two short, blonde, long-haired men with tailor's tape around their necks and shoulders. One of them casts his eye at you. What part are you playing? I don't remember you.
We haven't been assigned one yet.
No, good. Great.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's a little mushy right now.
All right. So, do you know where you're going to be?
They haven't told us.
They haven't told us. Best guess is, like, party guests, maybe.
Party guests. All right.
They said maybe white.
White. Why does that sound familiar? All right, I think I got something for you. I don't know if this is going to work for you. Come here. And he points at Ari.
Oh, okay.
Try this jacket on and tell me if it fits well. It's a blue blazer with red and gold chevrons on the arms.
Okay. Looks kind of military.
Nope, it's too big. Everyone notices that he puts on a marine dress blue jacket that has a white on the name tag. Nope, too big. He can't fill this.
No, he certainly cannot. And she shoves her hands in her pockets and turns away.
Did I say something?
Yeah, probably. And he takes off the coat. You know what? This might be better for you. Works well. Huh. Levantine features, Ashkenazi features, good coloring there. We're good with the hair. All right, so this off-white jacket and this shirt should work well. And pants. Do you dress left or right?
What?
Do you dress left or right?
I put on my pants one leg at a time.
Not like that. With that, he grabs his tailor tape and jams it high into your crotch. All right, dress is left. Good to know. All right, head over there. All right, you next.
Ow.
Who?
Exactly, come on up here.
Sure. And Ron will step up, square her shoulders.
Take some measurements. All right, we're going to go with something standard. Make you fade into the background.
Love it.
Ooh, rose. I like rose. Rose is good. Rose is great on you.
Been wearing it a few years now.
Yep. We're gonna add one or two more of those. We're gonna add it into the pocket square and actually put a rose right there on the lapel. Comfortable in this with a striped shirt. Yeah, we're gonna do striped shirt.
Okay.
Pinstripe, thin stripe, yeah. Rose stripe on light blue. Against this dark navy. There we go. All right. And as he says that, the other blonde person produces a jacket and hands it to you. Try this on.
Take my normal jacket off, hang it on a nearby hook, and then pull this one on.
All right. That looks good. Looks good. We need to take it in here and here. I can dart this. And he's making quick check marks with a piece of white chalk on the jacket. And then the other person takes the jacket off of you quickly. All right. Next. You don't dress left or right. Nope. All right. How about you?
Reagan steps forward.
Ooh, I've got a gown for you.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going good. We're going big. We're going Terry Moogler. Yeah. You know what? Since there's not a lot of privacy here, there's an area back there. If you step back there, the gown will be on one of the hangers that I'm going to push through. Try it on. Is that okay?
Sure.
Do you want me to come with you to help zip?
Oh, it doesn't have zips. It has buttons. So yeah, probably need some help with buttons.
So yeah. Freaking absolutely drags Rowan along. What does this... I assume giant thing look like.
So as he pushes it back, you notice that it is a mermaid style dress. It does go up to the neck and has a very small, like keyhole in the middle, except that it is made of scale mail, and the scale mail itself changes color. It's a green, gold, orange ombre, and it looks as though that there is seaweed coming from the arms.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. around the feet as well. This is garish and loud.
Well, trying to run in that thing is going to be a son of a bitch.
I was just going to ask about that. I believe I will need to be moving, probably. Is there a way I can get some flexibility in these leg regions?
Absolutely. Hang on.
Great.
Just stay where you're at. Don't worry. He walks in and pulls a blindfold down and pushes his hands very close between your thighs and then keeps pushing. And next thing you know, you're now standing in a pantsuit. And it is a little bit more flexible.
Amazing.
Not exceptionally flexible, but still flexible nonetheless.
I will take it.
Good, because you don't have a choice. That's yours.
Yep. Okay. Great. Thanks.
But do me a favor. Please try to bring it back without too much wine or pie filling on it. The last one. Oh, my mamma mia.
I will endeavor to get none of that on this masterpiece.
No blood either.
Certainly not my intention.
Don't like how that sounds, but that's okay.
I have no control over what they make me do, but I will guard this as best I can.
I mean, you look stunning.
Thanks. She does a little, like, ba-bam, kicking a leg out.
Rowan takes a picture of her with that, with a little leg kick.
He comes back out. All right, you two.
Yes.
All right, come up, get over here.
I feel like,
I'm getting, not Pirates of Penzance, that would be, no. Merchant of Venice?
Is there payment required for this?
No. What do we look like? Capitalist hellscape?
It's just a costume fitting.
Merchant of Venice. No. I think I got it. Here's Prospero. This should work well. He brings you a doublet and some very tight leggings. And you also need something off your shoulder. So let's give you a shoulder cape here. Let's pin that and a brooch. Nope, this brooch will work. And he pins a green triangle brooch onto your shoulder.
Well, Prospero, you say?
Yes, Prospero. Are you familiar?
I've heard the name.
Good, good. You're not in the Prospero role, but we're reutilizing the costuming because, you know, we're not made of money here. All right, how about you, Sexy?
I'll step up.
No. No. Wait, come here. And he waves over his currently mute counterpart. And he points at you. Yeah, you see it too? I see it, yeah. All right. This is going to be comfortable.
Comfortable or uncomfortable?
No, comfortable. Comfortable. You're going to get the most comfortable one out of them all. All right, so this is going to... you're going to put this on like a coat and a robe, and it will tie around your waist.
Okay.
All right, arms out. And they then put a yellow and white layered robe on you. It's tied with a sash, and at the end of the tassels, there are tiny skulls with antlers.
Well, that's a bold statement.
Oh, it is going to be a bold statement, and here's your mask. And your mask is a white mask that does not cover your mouth or your chin, and it does go up over your forehead. There are no antlers on your mask, but there is a bit of a crown.
I thought there wasn't a king.
Oh, you are not the king. I mean, that would be bad. No. You're Vale. You're Prince Vale. Sound familiar?
No.
Oh.
I will make a mental note to ask Ari as soon as we're out of here.
You look good. All right. Prospero, here's your mask. You've got Thale's mask. All right. And Water Lady, there is your mask. It's nice and elegant. All right. And there you go. You've got your nice rose glasses on there.
These will be enough?
I think those will be, you know what, let's add a little bit of pizzazz. And he adds a chain, so this way it will hang. There we go, it adds, works, that, it accentuates your cheeks. You've got good bone structure there.
Thank you.
And the mask for you, my friend. Here you go. Here is a nice white mask. And, yeah, no mouth, just eyes and nose. Everyone has masks available to them. And the work on the costumes is done nearly instantly.
Are the masks all white?
No. The only one with the all-white mask is Ari.
What color are the others' masks?
The mask for Reagan seems to be made of gold, or gold coloring and gold flake, with some more of the chain and the scale mail. The mask is off-white for Ross with gold filigree, and the mask for Prospero has red and purple in it.
Is Rowan's chain beaded in any colors, or is it like a just a silver chain or something?
It's a gold chain. There are rose-colored beads in it as well.
All right, do you know where we can find the director? We were told he wanted to review the costumes.
Which director?
Johan.
Yeah. You really want to go see Johan?
No, but we kind of have to.
All right. Well, Johan's currently in the necropolis.
Which direction is that?
You go out here, you make a left, you go up the stairs, and then try to work your way like that direction. Now, you might get turned around a couple times because the streets don't necessarily go straight, but you want to keep... It's still early, so you want to keep your suns on your right. If the suns get above you, you're in the wrong way. So you want to make sure that the suns are right and left. If the suns are kind of like over each other, then it's too late in the day. And I can't tell you because I don't go out during that time. I don't have the map of the city, but I just kind of know where to go.
That's fair. Okay, thank you.
You are so pleasant.
There's no point in being mean. We're all in this together.
God damn.
They told me to always be nice to the customers.
Oh.
That is true.
Oh.
Getting stabbed with pins is terrible.
Oh. Oh. I will remember that. We will remember. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. You've made us look absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just taken back. Nobody's ever nice to us.
Well, that's a shame.
And you don't stick pins in them?
I didn't say that.
Correct.
He looks at his watch. All right, well, you guys have a while before any kind of stage, so have at. Don't get them dirty. If you do get them dirty, make sure it's for the right reasons.
Sounds good. Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't catch your name.
Now we're getting too close. Come on. And he starts to push you out the door.
Fair enough. Have a good rest of your day.
They wanted to know our names. What are our names? I don't know. And the door closes.
Tugging on my costume to make it fit a little better. And I had to bite my tongue and to keep from saying no capes.
All right, Ari, explain who are we all now? Who did they dress us as?
You're Prince Thale, and River is Prince Thale. Thale is the princess's brother, who has a relationship and potential bloody and murderous relationship with her, and incestuous.
Game of Thrones style.
Sounds like siblings.
Yeah, that would work. Good for them, bad for everybody else, but yeah. The only versions I know your name from were... They were kind of cognate with him.
The titular role?
Similar name as Rivers, Thale, and Vale, but I don't really know that one that much.
Okay, because the vibe I'm getting is the King in Yellow.
Oh yeah, me too. But as far as I can tell, they're princes of the king.
And I look at Regan and the Lady in the Lake or something.
I mean, Ariel? I don't know exactly.
So nothing, no strong.
Nothing from the thoughts play.
Of fish. Fish is a very sensitive topic in this group, I'm led to believe, but any sort of water beings or anything like that, I don't know, monsters from the deep.
And you guys have weird reactions to Starbucks.
Yeah, they've got some personal damage about fish stuff. Okay, so this might be a little bit more of a misnomer, and Rowan, well, he seemed to pull from your glasses, so it's possible that yours is nothing specific either, but is there anybody that would be pink or rose-colored or stripes?
I mean, he seemed to be indicating that I'm meant to fade into the background, which makes me think background character not really meant to be seen, which I am A-okay with.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's as far as I know. Nothing specific?
And you, you said the white mask was important.
I just thought that white would be neutral and not go any of the specific players' colors. Because yellow and red, obviously. The princess is usually green. The princes, depending on which princes they are and which version, are sometimes blue and gold. And the wise man is Natalba is brown.
Why do my grandsons just stand there?
I will turn around to see who's talking to us.
You see a man dressed as a king. He's dressed in like flowing purple robes, almost as though it's a thobe or a muumuu. It's almost like a dressing robe. He's wearing comfortable slippers, like leather slippers. And he has a crown on his head and a simple domino mask that you were attempting to create with lipstick.
Does River still have lipstick on under the other mask? Can we see
it? Yeah, they didn't wash it off.
Can we see it?
I don't know if you guys have your masks on or off.
Yeah, I'm probably holding mine.
I put mine on to cover the lipstick.
Okay. You can't see it underneath there. He has a large bottle of wine in his hand. And he starts walking down the stairs. Vale and Vale! The good princes of Alar. You're out this early? Are you getting some strawberry pie?
No, we're not in the mood for pie.
Oh, never in the mood for pie. You're always so serious.
Is there somewhere we're supposed to be?
Wherever you want to be. Being nobility in Carcosa, you are fine. You are fine to do as you please. Just as long as you make it to your mother's event tonight.
Remind us of when and where that is exactly.
It should be, He looks down, taps his watch, taps it again. Damn thing died. Should be this evening. I think you're go on at 7.
I check my watch.
No, sorry, 7:15 if I can remember. Thale and Vale enter stage right, under the moon.
Do you have a copy of the script? Because I can't find mine.
Oh no, I memorized it. The Great Aldonis remembers everything, and remembers everyone else's parts too, because they forget because they're young ninnies.
Right, but what if I wanted to review it?
Then go talk to the director.
Okay.
Yes, let's go talk to the director.
All right, fine. I will walk my way back. Come along. And he turns and starts to walk away.
I guess we follow?
Is he walking the same way we got directions for?
Yes.
Then, we'll follow him.
I'll hang a little bit back just because I'm supposed to be a background character and I'm keeping an eye on things.
As you're walking, you hear, "Action! Have you found the yellow sign?" And the crowd responds, Yatil. "Have you found the yellow sign? Yatil. All the heavens and hell, have you found the yellow sign?" Cut! It seems as though you pass by a courtyard that's blocked by a very fancy gate. The flower garden beyond, you see a group of people all holding what looks to be scripts. They're dressed as a traditional chorus, meaning that flowing white robes or linen robes, with somebody in front of them, almost like a director or an orchestra director. Aldonis, or whomever calls himself Aldonis, is leading you past them, and you see ahead of you another large garden. And beyond the garden, there is an opulent mansion with balconies and pillars and columns. The architecture here is a strange mishmash of European styles mixed with Arabic styles. The director is in the necropolis around the corner. Head there. You should be able to get what you need.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Do that again and I'll have you executed.
Ross does the, like, zipping your mouth and locking it gesture.
He smiles and winks at you, and then walks past all of you. But as he's walking by, he goes to put his arms on both River and Ross, on their shoulders. It's a masquerade. Is someone going to be the fool, or do you think the monarch will appear? Will there be truth? Will there be tragedy? Will there be comedy? Will there be tears? Will there be laughter? It's all up to you.
I'm Tiana Hansen, and I play Rowan.
I'm Seth Jones, and I play River.
I'm Joseph Newman, and I play Ross.
I'm Christy Bauer, and I play Reagan.
I'm Ben Sislowski, and I play Ari.
I'm Dan Voshkevich, the Handler. Our story is based upon the role-playing game Delta Green by Arc Dream Publishing. Delta Green is created by Dennis Detweiler, Adam Scott Glancy, and John Scott Tynes. Season 7 is an adaptation written by me, Dan Voshkevich, based on the fragments of the King chapters written by John Wick, Toby Abad, Fabian Badia, Ben Warner, and Rob Justice. Our intros this season were written by Alondra Heilman and performed by Grant Corvin, with additional voices by John Wick, Fabian Badia, and Ben Warner. The Hassiter Holler was composed and recorded by Tom Padula, with special vocal parts performed by the performers at Red House Bardic.
Thanks, boss.
If you like our story, there are a few ways you can support us. First, you can check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/theredactedreports. Patrons of our podcast will receive early access to episode, Rowan's written reports for each story, as well as other goodies and opportunities exclusive to our patrons. We offer special thanks to our $20 and up patrons, Stephen Schwartz, Danny, Tom Padula, Kit Thompson,
Lady Bedivere,
Heather Ney, Jen Obertaz, Bomb Clancy, Naya Fenris, Shrek Manning, Red Dead Coquette, Ginger Fury, Dr. Christian Lehman, Devils, Robbie Nowell, J. Matthews 85, Flynn Gallagher, Phoenix Team Handler Dennis, Knitting Daddy Greg, Multicam Yeti, Scott Miller, Rogue, Jacqueline Parrish, and Monsieur Quack. If you can't support us directly, that's okay. Please support us by telling people about us. Leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on all the usual social media sites. Also, check out our website, www.theredactedreportspodcast.com. All of our handouts are archived there, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can reach out to Agent Harker through the contact form there. The Redacted Reports is edited and produced by Tiana Wren Hansen and is distributed by Quests and Chaos. If you like what you hear with us, give Quests and Chaos YouTube channel a visit. They play Dungeons & Dragons and Call of Cthulhu on a weekly basis and have a bunch of content archived on their YouTube channel. Additional undercurrent music, Rowan Rising, was composed and orchestrated by Alan Strickland, A-L-L-E-N. You can find him at alanstrickland.net for his classical compositions. Join us next week. In the sins of the father, retribution comes due. Beryl Spald dwindle to anxious supply, and we face a threat with such a human gall we cannot succumb, lest it gluttonizes us from within and without.